If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John this morning in the New Testament there. It is the fourth Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter number one. As the kids continue to go to Children's Church, we need to pray for them and especially for Zeke and Tony. Amen. And I know they'll have a wonderful time together. And what a blessing it is to be here this morning. And trust that everyone is having a wonderful Christmas season. I trust that everyone is feeling well. I know this time of year also brings sickness. And so trust that the Lord is helping everyone feel well. And if you have experienced it, that you're feeling better. But we do thank the Lord for His goodness. And as we celebrate again the birth and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The past few weeks have been, preaching Christmas messages. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Joseph, the stepfather or the foster father, however you will there, of Jesus. We talked about how God chose him and used him and his character. And then we talked about Mary, the mother of Christ. We talked about her last Sunday and her testimony and her character. Talked about her song of praise to the Lord and what we learned from that. And this morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to direct our attention to the Lord Jesus, completely to Him. And it's a message that I don't know that I've ever preached this type of message, or at least on this doctrine completely, like I am this morning. But with the Lord's help, I want to preach a message around the subject of the humanity of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ was 100% God, but also 100% man. Now, listen, I'm not suggesting that you should be able to totally understand that, because I do not. But neither do I sit around in the dark because I don't understand electricity. I've turned the light on. And sometimes that's exactly what we have to do on doctrines such as this. We do accept it by faith. And we know that He has declared it clearly in His Word. And we know He demonstrated that also through His works. You'll find there in John chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 14. John chapter 1, and we'll be looking at other portions of Scripture, mainly in the book of Hebrews, in fact. So after John, we'll go over to the book of Hebrews. But let's just read here verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That first phrase there, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The title of this morning's message is this: God became man. God became man. And we're going to look at the significance of why that had to be and why God ordained that from eternity past, that that would be the redemption of mankind and how it would be accomplished. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us this morning. Father, I confess to you right off that I'm inadequate to be able to convey this truth, Lord. I know that I am incapable of doing that. So, Lord, I am simply asking you just to use me as a channel and a voice. And Holy Spirit, would you just speak your word through me this morning? Illumine our minds, our hearts. Thank you for the listeners, Lord. I pray for them. I pray that you would encourage them. And I pray that they would draw strength from your word and your spirit today. And Lord, we do look to thee and thee alone to meet with us this morning, as we reflect upon the birth of the mighty God. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. In order to truly understand and appreciate Christmas, you must acknowledge that God became a human being to fulfill His rescue mission. You say God had a rescue mission? Oh yes, He sure did. And each one of us represent that mission, because He came after us. He did. He came after us, and God ordained it from the beginning how that would be done. It's hard to believe that on January the 11th, just this coming just here in less than a month, I will be looking back, hard to believe that it's been 19 years since I had joined the U.S. Coast Guard. I can remember, I still am kicking myself for choosing January to go to Cape May, New Jersey. That was not very wise of me, but I remember very quickly that they, that was one part I was impressed with, how quickly they gave me, a uniform. And, I found out later that that didn't mean much at all, according to the company commanders, but it did mean something. They did give us those uniforms to wear with honor and for purpose. And I remember being told that many, many times. But those uniforms, when we put those uniforms on, I was a civilian before going. But when I became active duty in the military, I put on military attire. That was issued to me from the U.S. government. And it was for a reason. It was for a purpose. What? It represented a preparedness and a qualification that was designed for me to do. It represented a mission that was cut out for me. And that's in the line of the U.S. Coast Guard. But this morning, I want to talk about how that applies spiritually to our subject this morning. God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, came down to earth on a mission, but His uniform was human flesh. He became a human being, just like you and me, just like we breathe, just like we function, just like we learn, all of the characteristics of a human Jesus Christ took on for the exception of a sin nature. He came to fulfill the will of God on a mission for us. When Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to this earth over 2,000 years ago, He took on the human body. There's great significance for this and truly foundational for the Christian faith. You know, let me read some verses to you that recall. These are not all of them, but I do want to recall some of them to help paint the picture of our subject this morning. Romans chapter 8 verse 3 says this, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." Now notice it does not say sending His Son in sinful flesh. The likeness. In other words, He looked like us. We are indeed sinful flesh. But He came in the likeness of that. He was not in sinful flesh. And He came for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? In His body. We'll talk about more of that in just a moment. I think of Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. And talking about the Lord Jesus, "but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant," and get it, "and was made in the likeness of men." Now get this. This is a great introductory verse for our message this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. "And without controversy," Paul said to Timothy, "great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." It truly is a mystery. There are mysteries in the Bible that we'll never be able to totally wrap our finite minds around. But I tell you, it is declared clearly by the Word of God that Jesus came and manifested Himself to us as humans. And how grateful I am this morning that He did do that. But what was the importance of Christ's humanity? Why exactly did God have to become human? What is the significance? What is the true meaning? I'd like to submit to you three main reasons why God came to earth as a man. Go over with me to the book of Hebrews, would you? If you just flip towards the book of Revelation, you'll run into it eventually. It's if you've gone to Peter or James, you've gone too far. But the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 with me there. So we're concentrating on three main reasons why God came to earth as a man. The first reason I submit to you this morning is simply this. He came to reveal God. He came to reveal God. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 there, Hebrews chapter 1. It says here, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, this is important here, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, Jesus came to this earth to reveal to us God. Now you say, did people not know God before Jesus came? Oh yes, they did. But not in the same way. They did not see God manifest as Jesus was during His life here on earth. There was a way that God did reveal, of course we know, through His Word. As we just read in the verse 1, God chose men of God called prophets to pen, to write the Word of God. He gave them the very words, and they penned them. He used those prophets, and He would use the apostles, and He used them to write His Word. But you see, God in His nature is invisible. The Bible says God is spirit. We cannot see God with the human eye. We see God through the lenses of faith. But there was something that God decided to do in His omnipotent, all-wise self. He decided that He would manifest Himself in a physical form. You see, God is a spirit, but He chose to show man Himself through a form that was tangible. You know, it's sort of a temptation for all of mankind to want to touch God and feel God and be able to, I've never seen God. Have you ever seen God? I've never seen God. How can you believe in someone you haven't seen? And man has always had that temptation. Well, if we can't see Him, we will make Him. And that's where we follow through the line of the Old Testament. And even today, they make idols, they make statues and different things that they fall down and worship. They're made with men's hands. But listen, God is not made with men's hands. God is eternal. He's always existed. And He is the one we worship. Therefore, God ordained a way to reveal to mankind, get this, He revealed to mankind a perfect, an uncontaminated, flawless, and express image of Himself. How did He do that? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Yes, He did it through His Son, the second person of the triune God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. What does it say? Who, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You see, in times past, God had revealed Himself through creation. Man has a conscience. There are general ways of revelation that God has revealed Himself, again through the prophets, but this time it would even go to another level of revelation through His Son, Jesus. Wow. Jesus is able to reveal God perfectly. Why, ladies and gentlemen? How can He do that? Because He is God. Jesus is God. And He came and fulfilled that image. That's why the author of the book of Hebrews said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the express image. That means exactly the same image that Jesus would reveal. Oh, friends, sometimes talking about this and even studying for it, I feel like I need to just take off my shoes, as Moses was told, for you stand on holy ground. I know these aren't things we can get our minds quite wrapped around, but how amazing that God would do something like this. You remember Philip, don't you? In the book of John, chapter 14, what did Philip say to our Lord in that time of fear about what was going on in the life of the Lord Jesus, their master and teacher? Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." What did Jesus say? He said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." It means that will help us have the faith we need. Lord Jesus, if you will just show us the Father, we'll believe. What did Jesus say to Philip? He saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He," Jesus says, "that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" What was the Lord Jesus saying? The Lord Jesus saying, "I am the express image of my Father, God the Spirit. I am coming in an express image of Him." And He had the authority and right to say that, did He not? Now, if I came to you and said, personally, I came up to you and I said, "Now look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." If I said to you, "If you've seen me, you've seen God," you'd say, "Pastor, you have been eating way too much fruitcake." Actually, I hadn't eaten any and hope I never will. But I probably have been eating too many Christmas cookies. Yes, you can conclude that very quickly, that Pastor Jennings, Pastor Brother Brinson, has completely lost his mind. Because I would have lost my mind if I ever declare to you that if you've seen me, you've seen God, because that is not true. Now, I hope, as God's Spirit living in me, that I will produce characteristics that point to God. His Spirit is producing that fruit which points men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. But my friends, no. Listen, I still have a sin nature. I still sin. I still make mistakes. I still fail. Listen, Jesus, when He came to this earth, He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the ordained will of God. He came and lived perfectly in the flesh. He sure did, and didn't sin one time. And that's why He can come and be the express image of Almighty God. You see, John 1:18 says this, "No man hath seen God at any time." That's interesting, because no man has. "The only begotten Son," it goes on to say, "which is in the bosom of the Father," get this, "He hath declared Him." The purpose of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh is to reveal God in a miraculous fashion to mankind. Wow, that is awesome. I'm glad God ordained it that way, because there are several other reasons He did that. And that brings me to my second point. Not only to reveal God to us, but also to relate with us. He came to relate with us. We're in the book of Hebrews, which, by the way, there is so much doctrine in the book of Hebrews surrounding the theme of the humanity of Christ, because of His offering for sin Himself. There is so much there. But we're only going to be able to look at a few verses together this morning because of time. But look there with me in chapter 2. Not only did Jesus come in the flesh to reveal, but also to relate. Look there in chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. "For verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels." Okay? But what? If He didn't take on the nature of angels, what did He take on? But He took on Him the seed of Abraham, which was prophesied even in Genesis chapter 3. We see here that he indeed is going to go on to say here in verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Get verse 18. "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And that's an old English word to bring help and comfort to them that are tempted. Look over there with me in chapter 5. Just flip over. We may come back to chapter 2, but go over to chapter 5 with me. Again, this is talking about him coming to relate with us. Chapter 5, look at verse 1. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Now get verse 2. "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way?" I wonder if any of us can fit in those two categories. "For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." Oh, look over to verse 8, down just a few verses. "Though he were a son," the Son of God, get this, "yet God," the Son of God, "learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." I submit to you, my friends, that little babe born in a manger, the Lord God Almighty came to reveal God unto us, but he also came that he could relate with us, that he could relate with our pains, that he could relate with our struggles, that he could relate with us when it comes, when the battle against sin. Jesus Christ relates. He would come to this earth and live a life as a human being, and get this, would be subject to the same testing of all mankind. You say, where do you get that? The Word of God. If look over there in chapter number 4. Just go back there. Verse number 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but the Word of God declares, but was in all points, not some points, all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You see, the Lord Jesus never gave in. He felt the pressure of the temptation of sin. When the devil tempted him and his divinity, if anybody sensed the cruelness and agony of sin, it would be the Lord Jesus in his divinity. He was God. Of course he sensed when sin was trying to come his way. He sensed it, but he never gave in. He was tried in all points, like as all humans are. He was tried, but never once did he give in, because he was God as well. And we know God cannot sin. Look, that is our Savior. He was chosen to represent us, the human race. Just like the high priest, just like the priest in the Old Testament, what was their calling, church? Their calling was to represent man to God. They spoke on man's behalf. They spoke to God. So Jesus Christ came to this earth to do the same thing. Not only to reveal God, but to relate with us, to prepare for what? His present ministry. What is the present ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? The present ministry, as I speak, is the ministry of intercession. The Bible declares that Jesus is the great high priest who is currently making intercession, and the Bible says who forever maketh intercession for us. So he came to this earth in preparation to be that high priest that would go to before God continuously for all eternity. Listen, I know it's hard to get our minds wrapped around that, But that is the Word of God, and it declares it, and I personally think it's completely awesome. Praise God. Yes, He has compassion and sympathizes with us. Now, careful. He doesn't sympathize with our sin. It's very important to distinguish the two. He sympathizes with our struggle. He knows how it is to be confronted by the devil. He knows how it feels to be confronted with sin, but He does not know how it feels to sin because He never has sinned. Not with our sin, but with our temptations. He knew of human frailty and the temptations, which, by the way, was absolutely, according to this blessed book and these few chapters in Hebrews, was totally essential for the high priest ministry. It was totally essential, ordained by God. I'm going to send you down to earth to experience the temptations of the human race. So not only that can you reveal them, reveal me to them, the express image, but I want you to be able to relate to them. Do you hear and see the heart of God in this church? I just want to sit down and praise God. Oh, wow. It was essential. Jesus says with us today in all our trials and temptations, get this. I know what you're going through. Any temptation that you've been faced with and tried with, and most of us and all of us, not only say most of all of us have given in at some point, but never Jesus. He never gave in. But He was tempted. He was tried. And He says, I know what you're going through. And I believe not only can He say, I know what you're going through, but He can say, I have experienced it myself. It's one thing to say, listen, I know what you're going through. I know that temptation. I don't know, perhaps somebody lost a job and I can say, look, man, I know how you feel. And I could make that statement and then they could turn around and say, look, have you ever lost your job? No, not really. But when I come to Jesus and I'm being tempted, Jesus can say, son, I know what you're going through. I conquered. I overcame. But I know how it feels to be tempted. And I will sympathize with you and your struggle. I will pray for you. I am going to intercede for you. Oh, can you hear the heart of our Savior? Jesus never succumbed to the temptation, but He definitely felt the pressure of it. And can I say this before moving on? You know, Jesus never experienced the act of sin, but can I tell you something? He did truly experience was the pain and penalty of sin. He never experienced the act of sin, but my friends, He totally and completely, thank God, experienced the agony of the penalty and pain of sin called death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you get that? The penalty. And Jesus took that penalty. And He took that death when He laid His perfect sacrifice Himself upon that cross. And said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, dear friends, do you see how Jesus Christ can relate with us? Oh, I'm thankful this morning that my Savior never sinned. But the Bible declares He did become sin. He died my death. The death of Brinson Jennings. Jesus died it for me that I might live eternally. Oh, He did that for you too, friend. He died your death. He came into that cradle, but it didn't stop there, that manger. He went from the cradle, and my friends, He went to the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. You can't think of Christmas, my friend, truly, without thinking about the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Blessed be His holy name. And that brings me to my third and maybe final point. Some of y'all close shop on me quick, so I'm not going to start telling you what my last one is. The third point is to redeem. Jesus came in the flesh not only to relate with us and not only to reveal to us, but He came to redeem us. Look over with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Just flip over a few verses there. Is this do anything to y'all's heart? I'm just curious. Can you say amen? Amen. Nothing about me up here, I tell you that right now, but this is truth that ought to warm the heart of every born again believer in this room. It ought to make us want to get up and run a lap. You say, I don't run laps in church. All right, run one when you get home, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. He came to redeem. Chapter 10, verse number 5. Says here, verse 4. Let's start with verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, amen. Wherefore, when He, that's Jesus, cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Get this, please. But a body hast thou prepared me. The importance of the humanity of Jesus Christ when it comes to His ordained mission is that there had to be a body, not of an animal, but of a human. Had to be. God ordained that. And Jesus, by the way, existed eternally before He was born to this earth. He was eternally older than His mother Mary and His stepfather Joseph. But that was His point where He came onto earth and He took on flesh. He took on that form. And we know, I don't have time to get into it, He revealed Himself in other ways in the Old Testament. We refer to it theologically as theophanies, where He was represented through the form of man or even an angel. We know that to Joshua. We know that to Jacob. We know that to the three Hebrew, I can't get that out. Somebody say it for me. Amen. Hebrew children. He would say that He would reveal Himself there, the fourth man in the fire, but this is different. He's taken on the permanent form of man. In fact, He's in the form of man right now in a glorified state, and He will be for all eternity. That's awesome. When we see Him, He will be in that form in a glorified state as He was here on earth. But we see here, and back to our verse there, it was a body that was prepared for Him from eternity past. Verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. But what does God have pleasure in? Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. That is Jesus. And I want to tell you, He came because He had to come in order for us to be redeemed. It was part of the Father's plan. And He redeemed us. Oh, look at verse 10, my friends. By the which we are sanctified through the offering. Get it? Of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, who did He come to redeem? Some would say there were just a few that He came for. But I submit to you, I believe that God came for all. And He came for you and He came for me. And if you're here today, you've never experienced the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, God wants you to have that. I can say that with the authority of God's Word. Listen to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, hallelujah, we celebrate Christmas because of it. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I was in the slave market of sin. Back there in 2001, up to that point, 2002, I was in the slave market of sin. But when I found Jesus, He delivered me out of that. You say, Brother Brinson, did you get cleaned up before you got redeemed? Oh, no. It doesn't work that way. God takes you just like you are. Aren't you thankful for that? Can you say amen right there? Woo! I'm glad God will take an old, dirty, hell-bound sinner just like he is. We'll save him by the precious blood of Jesus, and we'll start working in his life by his Spirit and start conforming him more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. Only God can come up with a plan like that, ladies and gentlemen. Only God! And I'm grateful for it. He came for me and you. How did he do it? We've read the verses. First of all, he fulfilled it because there had to be bloodshed. Not just any bloodshed, but it had to come from a human body. The body of God. The body of God. His name is Jesus. It had to be perfect obedience. See, in the Old Testament sacrifices, as they was bringing those animals, I've seen them. Being in Niger, in the Muslim faith, they had sacrifices throughout the year. And there was one particular that they would have. And man, there would be just thousands of goats all around town for sale. And for the sacrifices that they were making. And I want to tell you, I never in my life saw one that was excited about it. You talking about kicking, screaming? Oh no, those animals didn't want to get anywhere near where those fires had been built. No, neither was there one in this time that came willingly, voluntarily, obediently, longingly. No animal, but it had to be for us. And Jesus did it. Why do I say he did it? Because we read it right there in the verse. In verse 7, he says, "Lo, I come. I come to do thy will, O God." And he did. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing that for me and for the whole world. There was a perfect obedience. There was a perfect submission to the will of God. And it came through the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, I have in no way exalted all the reasons Jesus came in the flesh, but I have sought to highlight three main ones to help our hearts reflect upon the true meaning of Christmas this year. I'm reminded of two Moravians. You may have heard of them. One was named Johann Duber and David Nishman. Now that's, Brother Christian, you correct, that's German, I believe, and I have no idea how to pronounce those names. But these two men in 1732 made a decision. There was a great moving of God's Spirit upon the Moravians, and they wanted to go to the West Indies to win the slaves to Christ. There had been slaves taken from Africa. They would go to the West Indies Islands, and they would take them from there to America and other places to sell off as slaves. Well, these men got a great burden to go to the islands to share the gospel with these slaves. And those were the two men that made that decision in 1732. They had a mission. They were willing to go cross-cultural. They were ready to go across racial boundaries. And they were ready to go to those slave communities and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even these men made the statement, quote them, that if we even have to become a slave to win them, we will. Do you know that's what the Lord Jesus did? He became us in order to win us, that we might be saved. The Old Testament prophets believed that this Messiah would come, born of a virgin. And we look back that he did come and was born of a virgin. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate it this month, and praise God, church, let's determine to celebrate it every day. Let's not just give Jesus glory on special days, but on every day. Listen, I may be speaking to someone here today, and I have no idea, but maybe you're going through an extreme dark time in your life. Maybe you're facing some things you never even dreamed of facing. Can I tell you, you have a faithful high priest who knows the temptations you are facing. And he is compassionate. He will sympathize with your struggle. He will help you in your struggle. And he will also provide the forgiveness when you do choose to sin. He will provide that. He's faithful. Our God is faithful. He's come to reveal the Lord He's come to redeem the lost. He is coming to relate with us that He might be a faithful intercessor. Can I ask you something today? You may be here today, whether you're a visitor or you might even be a member. I've heard of church members coming to know Christ. Listen, nothing wrong with that. That shows humility. That shows the Spirit of God's working. Just because you got your name written on a roll doesn't mean squat in heaven. Your name's got to be written in the book of life, and only God knows that. But you may be here today, and you've never made that decision to trust this great sacrifice that God Almighty has provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. You've never said, Lord, I need that forgiveness that comes only by the way of the cross. If you've never done that today, could I say today is your day? God has provided you a way to come and hear the gospel. It's not by accident. Maybe you've heard it thousands of times. And you say, well, I've heard it thousands of times. Well, maybe this is the time that's your last time. And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you could do that today. And then I want to talk to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes this season can bring great sadness. Maybe there's been some real struggles this year of 2018. Maybe there's been some real failures. But I want to tell you, you have a sympathetic and you do have a compassionate high priest. His name is Jesus. And He's praying for you. According to the Word of God, He's praying for you. Isn't it wonderful to be on Jesus' personal prayer list? Don't be discouraged, friend. Look to your Savior. Would you bow your heads with me?